Hello, this is Dr. Jay Prakash Mulir. I'm an epidemiologist and I retired from Christian Medical College, Bangalore a few years ago.
And hello, this is Karthik Malhotra. Dr. Mulir, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. Dr. Mulir, please help us understand what are the options available to India right now? How do we get out of the situation we are in with respect to COVID-19? And how does a country like ours end up developing herd immunity to deal with the situation?
There are certain diseases like COVID now, which are called diseases transmitted from person to person. And the epidemic is called person to person epidemic. In these diseases, there's something more fascinating occurs because of the immune response. Immune response manages to overcome the infection, but in general, it renders a person immune to future infections. Now, a virus walks into a country for the first time, everybody is susceptible, and gradually it starts infecting one by one. Moves to one, from there to next, and it's a kind of a chain reaction. As time progresses, it finds it difficult to find a susceptible host. All this happens purely just by chance. Something like what we learn in chemistry, laws of mass action. And then, at a particular threshold point, the epidemic ceases.
Are you trying to suggest, Dr. Mulir, that with or without a vaccination, the body is going to find a way to deal with COVID-19 and fight the infection? It's just a matter of time before it perhaps vanishes from the surface of the earth as an ailment. It becomes something that we all know how to live with.
It doesn't vanish from the surface of the earth. The epidemic stops. And there are tricky ways in which it learns to survive. That is probably beyond the scope of the discussion for this morning. However, remember one thing, they come back. Measles used to come back every 3 years. German measles used to come back every 7 years. There are ways they can come back. But it's all connected with how many susceptibles are there to restart the epidemic. Okay? So now, the long and short of it is, if we reach that point, epidemic will stop and we'll get a respite for maybe 1 or 2 years. By the time, we may have the vaccine.
But doctor, what I want to understand from you is that until the vaccine comes out, what are the options that we have? There are two options. Either we stay locked down and don't let the virus come and contact us directly, or the option is to go out, get exposed, but in the process, develop the herd immunity. So what is there a third option available right now until the vaccine really comes out?
There is a third option. That is by looking at the mortality. The mortality seems to be primarily in the elderly, above the age of 60. But even if I describe the mortality, you should remember, our population is low, large. The number dying will be large, okay? So this is quite unacceptable. But still, imagine the situation. If somehow I was able to convince every senior citizen to make a contribution. What is the contribution? For heaven's sake, sit at home. Don't come out. Even within the house, keep a distance from your children and grandchildren. Just for a little while, till this whole crisis is over. What happened? The proportion infected in the elderly will drastically come down if they follow instruction. And consequently, the total dead will be less. The young people will be in trouble a little bit, but they will acquire the herd immunity required, and the total deaths will be much less than expected.
Since you mentioned the youth in India and India being a young population, do you think the fact that the US and Italy have been so badly hit is because they have a greater number of older people than India? So has our demographic dividend also turned out to be a dividend when it comes to talking about COVID-19?
One of the reasons is there are too many elderly leading active social life in many of these countries. Italy, for example. They are old, but they are active socially. That means the contact with other human beings are very close. So naturally, the disease spread fast. Plus, Italy had an attitude which was very favorable to the spread of the disease. They had a program which laughed at the whole story about a viral infection. So we are at least scared, majorly scared. So I think that has some influence on it. Even though I must say, fear is not a good way to face any catastrophe. We should have information.
Right. So Dr. Malin, I also want to understand from you, is there any correlation whatsoever between a country having the BCG vaccine and having the immunization program of the BCG vaccine versus those that do not? So there were reports that the difference between Spain and Portugal in the way they have dealt with the coronavirus primarily results from the fact that Portugal had a BCG immunization coverage which was far greater than what Spain had, and hence the numbers that Portugal reported were much lower than Spain. Is there any correlation whatsoever?
Most of the country who are using BCG are also poor countries, okay? And consequently, the health information system is also poor.
That's right.
So reporting of deaths is also poor. So what is that? There are several centers in India now is involved in observational study which will accurately measure the effect of BCG on severity of COVID disease. And we will know in short time whether BCG made a difference.
How have countries like Australia and New Zealand really flattened the curve in that sense? Have they developed the herd immunity? Because their lockdowns did not seem to be as stringent as ours. So do you think there is a possible delay in cases shooting up? Or has it actually come down? Has the curve actually flattened in countries like Australia and New Zealand?
Now, they are both island nations. They can control entry, exit, everything. Australian story, I'm not so fully sure because the data is a little confusing. New Zealand has been showing a steady fall in number of cases. They are close together, but they are in two different leagues. Australia may have more problem yet in time to come. So what happened is New Zealand's thing is worth studying. If early intervention had come in, I mean, in China, we wouldn't have had the suffering. And I think somebody bothered. Because if New Zealand can do it, despite there has been multiple foci, when China had only one focus in the beginning, they could probably have done a better job. We could have sent some experts from Kerala to help them how to do it, because Kerala seems to know how to do the containment quite well.
You had earlier stated that a 21-day lockdown is going to suffice. The 21 days are coming to an end. Are there more merits in ending the lockdown and facing the challenge head on? Or are there more merits in perhaps staying locked in for a little longer and letting the graph really flatten on its own before sending people out? What should India's strategy be?
When you open up, it is inevitable the cases will increase. And you have to watch it carefully. Watch out for a situation where you become the number of cases in the hospital become overwhelmingly high. That's when you have to put brakes again, probably. But, you know, that is, we need to balance it. It's a very fine act. And I suppose with adequate warning and preparation, we may be able to. See, the thing is, high mortality among the elderly is an issue. The only way to prevent it is from their cooperation and isolation of the elderly. If that part is avoided, the rest of the community can face the virus without too much of a problem. Okay, there will be some deaths, but not overwhelmingly high.
Right, Dr. Malin, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. It was a pleasure having you, and we wish you good health and stay safe. Thank you so much, sir.